stars. Let me see.
A bit's changed since I did a bit of radio with you, Homicide. Is this the new signature tune?
You know, I actually love Sinatra. When I'm in my room, I listen to Sinatra a lot.
Here we go.
You know? Classy man.
Oh, I just feel really smooth and just lean back in the chair here. Might go to sleep. Hey, great to see you.
Always a pleasure, man. How you been?
I've been away. Been a bit going on. Nice to put 2 feet back on the ground and actually catch up on what's happening in the world of sport, because I've been in the tennis bubble for about 6 weeks.
Not a bad bubble to be in. Good tennis bubble. Was great. The Australian Open was awesome. We
did go?
I definitely went to see Rafa. I seen Djokovic play. That was great.
Yep.
I've seen Federer play. That was awesome. But Rafa, that's my guy. Mr. Passionate.
Yeah.
I love him.
He's an imposing person. He's got an amazing aura. You've been surrounded by, Corey, a lot of high-profile sporting stars across the journey, and this is a guy who everyone wants a piece of, and he just handles it with aplomb, absolute aplomb. He just gets it.
Yeah, he definitely does, because a lot of people just don't. You know what I mean? That just goes to show he's appreciative of where he's come from and where he is today, and he's still humble and a gracious person. Good on him.
Yeah, it's an amazing, you hate to call him a brand, but I mean, there's so much around him with his entourage and what he endorses and people who are organising his life, basically, and he still can be in that zone to be the best competitor in a sport where here in this country we've been crying out for a couple of blokes to actually totally dedicate themselves. This man's been doing it for 15 plus years. Elite, absolute elite. I mean, it's a testament to his character.
Definitely, man. And that's the difference between the good players and the elite. Yep. It's the little things. And consistency is key. He's been doing it for, like you said, a decade and a half. Yeah. That's impressive.
NBL season. We're getting towards the business end. Bit of familiarity with Melbourne at the top. Perth, the Kings, bit of a rough patch. Back on track over the weekend and the fight for fourth spot.
Definitely. This is no cupcake league. I say it week in, week out. The competition is stiff. You know, we saw the Sydney Kings pretty much the majority of the season was in first place. And now they're looking like they're going to finish in third. That's what one or two losses can do.
Yep.
One loss could keep you at the one win could put you at the top. One loss could drop you to third or fourth place. This is no cupcake league.
So since we last spoke, I mean, you know, you were pretty bullish about Melbourne and Sydney. Are you still of that view?
You know, I still am. Perth have done a great job the last 3-4 games, turning their season around, because they were pretty much looking out like they were not. There was a chance that they were not going to make finals. You know, but they won so many games early in the season. They took care of business. They won when they needed to win in order to. That drop that they had did not hurt them as much. Any other team that would have lost 7 out of 10, 8 out of 11, 8 out of 10 games, they would have been out.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, look, kudos to them. I thought they were out. They fooled me.
When the Wildcats, I mean, they're an amazing team. We talk about it all the time, just their, I suppose, consistency over a long period to make playoffs, and they're going to be right there in the mix again. Who's best placed? Okay, we've got Melbourne, Perth and Sydney. They've put themselves in a great position, obviously, for the finals, depending where they finish. Who's the best placed out of the remaining teams? So Illawarra keep their chances alive with that win against the Taipans last night. Adelaide, Brisbane, who have fluctuated all year, been around that sort of 500 mark. Who's best placed of those three if they did get in to have some sort of impact?
Honestly, Brisbane have the easiest run out of the other two teams, Adelaide and Illawarra. However, just because it may look easy on paper does not mean it's going to get it done. Again, BT, this is not a cupcake league. Every game is competitive. You got the last place team beating teams. Cairns Taipans have upset several teams this season and have made it tough for several teams. So none of these games, we can just say, well, guess what? It's going to be easy today. Look, New Zealand just almost beat. We went to a 12th overtime, which is the most in the history of the NBL. That's how tight these games are. And they just lost to Melbourne United. Yeah. So, you know, although on paper it seems easier, does not mean they're going to get it. But I am going to tip the Brisbane Bullets to get that fourth and final spot for finals.
Gee, you talk about you know, overtime. I mean, it's amazing when you can have a not so great night when you're a star, but then you can just turn it on when it counts. Because Casper, he was a bit off, a fair bit off early.
You know, when you think about it, they finish in first place. Casper Ware will be my pick for MVP of the league.
Mm.
Every night won't be a night, but the majority of nights have been his night. And for this team, who just started, in my opinion, three of their last four games,
yep,
to play high octane basketball, they're about to kick in right now into gear at the right time of the season, the business end. So we have yet to see the best of Melbourne United, is my point. And Casper Ware, man, he's done so much for that team this season. Whenever there was a doubt, when in doubt, give him the ball, he makes it happen. You know, he should have a sore back because he's carried that team majority of this season.
Can that carry them to back-to-back? Because clearly he's a huge focus of any opposition scouting. I mean, you can scout him, you can have all these plans in place, but if you're just too good as an individual, you'll break through that, and he has done that more often than not. But who else? I mean, to defend your title is tough, isn't it? And you're the absolute hunted, and people want to bring you down. So you've got to go to that next level. Can Melbourne go to the next level to counteract that?
Oh, 100%. And here's what's going on. Mitch McCarron last game,
yep,
25 points, 8 rebounds, 6 dimes, which is assists.
Yeah.
David Barlow stepped up huge with that big shot to seal the game. But the other player that I've been waiting on, DJ Kennedy, he showed up huge. DJ Kennedy had 23 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists.
Mm.
Like, so when you have other players stepping up, that team, as loaded as they are and talented as they are offensively, they are second to none.
Yep.
They're second to none. Josh Boone, 5 double-doubles in a row out of his last 5 games. That's just incredible. You know, Mitch McCarron has been great. Casper Ware has been great. So when you have guys like that stepping up, he can have a bad night and they'll still win.
Mm.
Chris Golan had a bad night and they still won.
Yep.
That's the depth of this team and how good they actually are. They finish in first. They're tough to beat at home. All you got to do is win your home games in finals.
1-300-736-736. If you want to chat to Corey, as I always say, anytime I do a half hour, an hour, well, we can talk hoops. We can talk anything because you're a man that's just well versed in the world. So anything you want to put on the table, 1-300-736-736, or on the text 0433-98-1116. So just going back to Friday night, I mean, they played New Zealand, obviously, in the space of, what, a couple of days, 3 days. First win in New Zealand on Friday. I mean, that's a tough place to go. They've had an interesting year, the Breakers. I mean, they've got such a great history for what they've achieved. I mean, not many of the New Zealand teams in our domestic competitions here have had great success, but the Breakers peeling off all the championships they did. Tougher year under Kevin Braswell this year. But, gee, they probably should have won at least one of those two games on the weekend. But what did you make of the performance in New Zealand?
Well, New Zealand did not come to play. And I'm not even just going to say that. I'm just going to say they flat out got their asses bust and outplayed by a team that is playing second to none. I'm going to go back one game.
Yep.
They went down there and dismantled Adelaide 36ers in a must-win game by Adelaide. In Adelaide.
Mm.
I was thoroughly impressed with how that team performed. Again, Chris Golan had a good game. Josh Boone, a double-double, outplayed DJ down there. DJ Kennedy had a great all-around game. Mitch McCarron, great all-around game. David Barlow was in foul trouble. But again, with Chris Golan playing well and Casper Ware playing well,
yeah,
one of those main guys could have a bad game, and they're still good. Then they come to New Zealand and destroy them. They pretty much was up 30 points pretty much the whole game.
Mm.
All he did was carry over the same intensity on both ends of the court,
yep,
and brought it down to New Zealand and gave them the business, flat out. Game over before it started. So New Zealand, in a game where they must show up, they didn't, and they dropped the ball. And again, that's the difference between good and elite,
yep,
consistency.
Yep.
That's what New Zealand lacks.
Yep. What is it about Dean Vickerman as a coach? We've been talking about Bill Belichick. I'm not putting them in the same sentence, Corey, but I'm just fascinated about coaches and what makes the great coaches. Dean Vickerman, what do you observe about him as a coach, just in the proximity that you are to him and doing games and dealing with him, whether it's interviewing him?
I think Dean Vickerman, one, is a class act. Two, he trusts his team. He's a player's coach. He doesn't do a lot of yelling. He's a great communicator. He gives them free rein within the offense. It's an equal opportunity offense. Guys like to play for him.
Yep.
He gets the best out of his players, and he puts his players offensively in good positions for them to get the best out of them.
Mm.
That's not easy to do all of those things as easy as I named it off. He has a lot of experience as an assistant coach, as a national team assistant coach, as a championship-winning assistant coach,
yep,
and head coach. He gets it from both sides. You know, so that's rare qualities to have. And I think that's why he's been a great coach in his career.
You'd appreciate his fashion too, wouldn't you?
Got a little bit of style.
That blue, the blue suit jacket he wears, the light blue.
I like how he puts it together.
He doesn't keep it on for the whole match.
Yeah, of course, because it's time to get busy. He takes it off.
Rolls the sleeves up.
Rolls them up when he has to.
To get down that crouch position as coaches do in basketball.
Yeah.
Not good,
yeah,
with a jacket on. What about up in the Harbour City? I mean, obviously, you know, Bogut's been the focus all season, and Jerome Randall, and a team that was at the start adjusting to a new lineup. Then they got into a magnificent run where they played some outstanding basketball, feeding off Bogut really well, then go through a slump. Down the business end, are the Kings going to be a genuine contender to Melbourne, or have you got some real separation there?
Here's my opinion. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right.
I'm just going to kick back a bit.
Sydney Kings is a team that I picked to win the championship prior to this season beginning.
Yep.
The acquisition of for Andrew Bogut on that team, incredible. Defensive player of the year. If they finish first somehow, he's MVP of the league. If they finish second, it'll be close between he and Casper Ware for MVP of the league. The Bogut effect is monumental for this league. Mm. Every team went and got a real big guy, which this league is not considered usually having big men on team. This is usually a guards league, run and gun. This is what Australian NBL basketball is usually about.
Yeah.
So that just goes to show you the effect that he's had on this team. That team pretty much was in last place last year. Now they're in position to finish on top of the ladder. That is because of one player. That's the effect he's had. Mm. So for me, he's pretty much averaging a double-double and top 10 in assists. You can't overlook those numbers. That's MVP numbers. They struggled a little bit, but here's my big thing. I've said it all year. Josh Boone, he cannot outplay. Whenever they played, he doesn't get the best of them.
Yep.
Have they beaten Melbourne United this year in three tries? No.
Mm.
How are you going to win a championship if you can't beat the champions? What do you think is going to happen? All of a sudden, come finals, we figured it out, we're going to win in a series?
Mm.
Of course not. Of course, it doesn't work like that. You're not just going to figure it out come finals. This weekend is the biggest weekend for Andrew Bogut and the Sydney Kings. Ask me why, BT.
What about the coach? Because the coach, I mean, we talk about a Bill Belichick yesterday.
Got you.
In a Super Bowl.
Got you.
This coaching genius who
got
could
you
get it done. So when it comes down the stretch, a Dean Vickerman,
right,
who's certainly not the name that Andrew Gaze is.
Got you.
But it's been in the system. All the things you reel off about assistant coach, championship coach, certainly didn't have the stature in the game that Andrew had, but is a more experienced coach.
Well, there you go.
What happens in that battle?
At that battle, at the end of the day, you just said it. Dean Vickerman does not have the stature as Andrew Gaze as a player. They're not playing. Andrew Gaze doesn't have the stature like Dean Vickerman in coaching. So if they're playing, who are you giving the edge to? Obviously, the better player.
Mm.
As a coach, who are you giving the edge to? Obviously, the better and more experienced coach. He's championship battle-tested and proven twice. As an assistant, several times. And as a head coach, twice.
Yep.
So you got to give the edge to Melbourne. And on top of it, they can't beat them. They haven't beaten them yet.
Mm. All to play out. Hey, Tom in Seaford's giving us a call, Corey. Tom, welcome to the show.
Oh, g'day, Brett. Love the program. G'day, Corey. Fellas, I've got a number of American friends who've come here from business and for social reasons and absolutely have fallen in love with AFL and can't believe that such an exciting game is struggling in the Northern Hemisphere. It's getting on board, but Corey, I was just, as a person from America, do you think there's some cultural reasons why it's hard to get it, individually people love it, but there's just not enough infrastructure or interest back home or in Canada or even Europe for that matter to get it off the ground, even though they come out here and they fall in love with it? What do you think the issue is there? Is it just too cultural difference?
You're referring to the NBL?
No, AFL. Australian
AFL in America, you're talking.
Yeah. AFL in America.
It's a huge cultural difference. I mean, you know, for us in America, right, as awesome as a sport AFL is, you have gridiron football that people are accustomed to. That's like all of a sudden trying to get gridiron football off the map and off and running in Australia. That's going to be very difficult to happen because of the fact that they have their footy. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I can't think you bring NFL to Australia, it's going to just take off and go. AFL has been happening from the beginning of time in Australia. That's their sport. So it's extremely difficult. And the population, it's just not going to happen.
Well, we see it here within the actual states of Australia.
Yeah.
Rugby league versus AFL. So good on you, Tom. Hang on. I've got a prize for you. Like I've ducked deep. Double pass to the 6 days cycling event at Melbourne Arena. 6 days. In Melbourne. It kicks off this Thursday at Melbourne Arena, the biggest sporting party in town. Corey Homicide Williams is in the studio. We'll come back and have a chat all things basketball and have a chat about Mitch Creek as well at 1300 736 736 when we come back. Welcome back to Afternoons. Brett Phillips in for Andy. Corey Homicide Williams in the studio. Of course, coming in the magnificent Bulls jersey today. 45.
Yeah, man. You know, first of all, let me tell you why. Do you even know why Michael Jordan went to 45?
No.
All right, cool. Here's a couple of things. Couple of fun facts. He wore 45 in high school.
Yep.
He wore 45 playing minor league baseball.
Yep.
For the Chicago White Sox minor league team when he retired. But the reason why he switched to 23 was his older brother played with number 45. So when he joined varsity, tried to make varsity, he had 45, so he couldn't use that number. Cut it into 20. What's half of 45? 22 and a half. So he just rounded it up to 23. That's how we started wearing 23. But more important, he retired. Came back from retirement wearing 45. You know, his dad died for sentimental reasons. He wore 45.
Yeah. That's 20, when he, at Washington.
No. Back to the Bulls. This is en route to the second three-peat. Game 23 into post-retirement, he switched the number to 23. So everybody was pissed off in America because everybody bought the 45 jersey.
Yeah.
So, you know, there ain't really much of these left. But shout out to Basketball Jersey World. They keep blessing me with the dope heat. I saw this. I was like, I definitely got to get a 45. And they're the only store in Australia to stock.
Is that right?
Authentic Michael Jordan jerseys. All shout out to Basketball Jersey World.
It's a nice little plug. Always good to see the Bulls jersey. I mean, when I was first looking
Mike.
At the NBA, you just
it's Mike.
The red and Mike and Scotty and Longley and co. Hey, Mitch Creek, speaking of the States, signed by the Brooklyn Nets, Corey, to a second 10-day contract. I watched a couple of his highlights last night. He just looks like a man sort of drifting through the court. He's obviously made a really good impression. They generally like the Aussies, their work ethic, their attitude. Can it turn into something bigger?
Definitely, you know, and it's turning into something bigger. The first step is to what? Get the first 10-day.
Yep.
Then after the 10-day, the next step is to get another 10-day. So after those 10 days, he just has to continue to keep getting better, keep working hard in practice, keep showing that he belongs. It's no longer, I'm happy to be there. Mm-hmm. Show that, guess what? I should have been here.
Yep.
I'm ready to kill these next 10-day. I want the rest of the season. I want to be on this roster. I don't want to come back to Australia. That's the type of mentality you have to let them know you're confident and you belong. I believe he'll stick for the rest of the season.
So if there's one area that he to last long term, because when I looked at those highlights, I thought this guy looks as good as any of the players around him. But what's the thing that as an Australian player coming in who's played a lot of basketball here, what does he need to do to be able to transfer that long term into the NBA?
I think long term, if nothing else, be a lockdown defender. Everybody loves a defender on your team. You know what I mean? After that, I think he just needs to continuously work on his mid-range jump shot and the three ball. If he could do those things, you'll have a spot in the NBA forever. Mm. Everybody loves a consistent knockdown shooter, and also everybody loves a defender. If yep. nothing else, you can make a name just for defense. Because at the end of the day, defense wins.
Yep, no doubt. Can you stick around for there's a couple more things I just want to run past you for a
Let's
couple of minutes. We're going to take some news headlines in just a moment. 1-300-736-736 or 0433-98-11-16 on the text, because I want to talk a little bit of NBA just on the other side, because the Bucks leading the way on the win-loss in the NBA currently. So we'll have a chat about that. Denver and their situation, the biggest disappointment of the NBA season. I want to chat about that with Corey in just a moment. We'll talk some tennis very soon as well with Linda Pierce. Plenty to discuss in the world of tennis, and Nick Riewoldt will join us after 2:30 this afternoon. But let's jump into the SEN newsroom and get the latest headlines with Steph Holt.
How you going, BP? How you going, Corey?
Very well.
How you doing?
Yeah, good. Just a quick question. I firmly believe that Derrick Rose is probably the most unluckiest player in the NBA because of the talent that he had and the injuries he received. I'm firmly in the belief that if he didn't get the injuries he received, he would have been in the same bracket as LeBron James. Do you agree?
I agree. I think he was Chicago. Derrick Rose still is Chicago, but he was the hope coming out of the South Side post Michael Jordan. He was that guy. You know, he's a great character, a great person, gave back to the community in every way. He was humble, didn't talk trash, took care of his friends and his family, did everything the right way, and he was one hell of a player. Very unfortunate that he got injured in the manner that he did. Tried to come back, didn't happen in Chicago. Then he left, bounced around a little bit, and found a home in Minnesota, and now he's finally looking a little bit like how he used to look, and it's a great story.
Good on you, Alec. Thank you for your call. I want to just touch on a couple of NBA situations. So the Bucks, as I mentioned before the news, leading the way on the win-loss in the NBA currently. So Bucks v. Toronto in the East, Boston, Philly, how are they sort of situated for you?
Well, the Greek Freak, they're running the East right now. You know, you can't forget, you know, Toronto right now, you know, they're always there. It was just the fact that LeBron owned Toronto. So now the East is wide open because of the fact that LeBron is not there. So there's a lot of teams that, you know, will emerge as favorites coming out. Like right now, I mean, you know, the break is coming up for All-Star, but we got to look at Milwaukee. We can't not look at them. You know, they've been playing great basketball. We have to look at Toronto right now. Kawhi got those boys going again. Mm. You know, Boston, who knows right now? You know, there's a little bit of drama surrounding that team, but you can't discount them because they were there last year. They were a game away. So I can't pick right now. Philly, you know, who knows? I'm just waiting for Ben Simmons to shoot. Once he get that monkey off his back, he'll become he'll go to a whole nother level.
Yep.
I don't even care if you miss. Just let it go.
Mm. Denver, any chance? And Warriors have owned the West for as long as we can remember.
Listen, we're seeing big Boogie Cousins, okay? They have the biggest, they have the two toughest guys in the league nobody wants no problems with.
Yep.
Boogie Cousins, nobody wants no problems with. And the bully, who was the muscle for the team already, you know what I mean, Draymond Green. Mm. So now you have both of those guys on the same team. Nobody wants no problems with that team. And you already have, you know, KD, Clay, and Steph. They're winning again.
Who's been the biggest disappointment?
Oh, man. That's tough. At first it was Houston, but Houston turned it around. James Harden is cooking back to his normal self. I'm going to have to say maybe Memphis. They were rolling in the beginning, and then they just fell off. They fell completely off. So I'll say Memphis.
All right. I'm going to close it there. Great to have you in as always.
Always a pleasure.
We'll do it again.
Definitely.
Very, very soon. Corey Homicide Williams talking some hoops. We're going to switch to tennis after the break. Linda Pierce, esteemed tennis journalist, to join us here on Afternoons.